Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, as we continue our series of Sunday morning sermons from the book of Luke, we'll ask you to turn there. Chapter 8, Parable of the Sower. If you are really good and you can turn to two different areas of Scripture, the other would be the book of Romans in chapter 10. We'll be getting there in a little while if you want to get ahead of us. But right now, Luke chapter 8. Let us stand together, if you would, please, as we read from the book of Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 5a. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come this day, to gather together, to sing the songs of honor and praise. Lord, the opportunity to give back the offering and tithes that are yours. Lord, now as we look into your holy word, we thank you for it. And we thank you for the redemption that has been purchased through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And it came to pass afterward, after the raising of the widow's only son, as we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, after the questions by John the Baptist and his disciples asking if Jesus was the one in whom they waited, or were they to wait for someone else? After Jesus' testimony concerning John the Baptist and how he was a messenger, after the dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee, after the woman who was a sinner had come and cried on the feet of Jesus, and she anointed him with ointment, and after Jesus' parable concerning the 2 debtors and which would love the one that forgave them of their debt the most, afterwards, he went throughout every city and village preaching. Jesus was a preacher of repentance. And today, if you're going to be a preacher that follows in the shoes or the footprints of Christ, you must be a preacher of repentance. Jesus wanted them to repent. Yet how many would come today to listen to Jesus? Would they even be bothered or desire to go out and to hear him speak? He preached showing glad tidings of the kingdom. And he wasn't alone. For the 12 were with him, the 12 disciples. Peter and James and John and the others were traveling with him. And not only them, there were certain women also, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna and many others. They traveled together. And these women ministered unto him of their substance. They obviously were women who had some type of money of their own, and they were willing to share it with Jesus. Are we willing to share our money and our time and our effort with Jesus Christ? We find in verse 4, it says, and when much people were gathered together. Now we ask the question, how many would go today to listen to Jesus? I've often wondered if we could have a revival service and we could have John the Baptist, how many would even bother to come? If we could have the Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest minister that ever walked the earth, would people even come? But much people gathered. You have to remember that they didn't get too many television programs. I remember when I was a teenage boy and my dad and mother would take us up to Grand Marais, Michigan, and this was before cable TV, before the satellite TV. And we would get there at the motel and the television might be turned on later after the activities of the day, and they would have one station and part of another. And they were the same TV station. You know, today you have 150 TV programs or stations or more. And yet how many times people don't have time for the Lord and for church because of television programs. There was no internet service. Man, it's terrible if you can't get Wi-Fi. Boy. There was no cell phone signals. There were no bars. Sometimes I'll be down in Ohio in Amish country and I'll look and boy, I don't get any reception. There are no bars and someone's talking and I say, who do you have? And they'll tell me and I go, oh, that's why you have reception and I don't. But there were no cell bars back then. Shopping was at a minimum. You know, they'd have market day. Boy, today you can shop 24/7. Do we have time for Jesus? And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. He spake. Quiet. The master speaks. Quiet. See, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this parable was a sower went out to sow his seed. Let's begin reading again at verse 5 down through verse 8. This was the parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Listen to what is being spoken. See, a sower took his seeds and spread it about. We find in verse 5 that some fell by the wayside and it was trodden down and the fowls of the air devoured it. And verse 6 tells us that some fell upon a rock. It sprung up, but it lacked moisture due to the fact it had no root system. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up alongside it and choked the growth. But we thank God for those seeds that fell on good ground, that sprang up and bear fruit. And if you have ears to hear, hear what the Lord has to say. Beginning at verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Do you believe that the word of God is important? See, this book is important. It is the word of God. Now, I tell you what, if you are the enemy of God, what is one of the things you're going to attack? You're going to attack the Word of God. You're going to try to change the Word of God. You're going to try to minimize the Word of God. You're going to try to tell us that the Word of God is of no importance. And you know, one of the things they try to tell you is that the Word of God was good 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, but we don't need the Word of God today. And that's a lie of the devil. Because we need the Word of God as much today as our forefathers did 200 years ago. Oh, we need the Word of God just as much today as those that were walking in the time of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is precious. And we should feel sorry for those who do not have the Word of God. You have in the bulletin the fact that we give every month to the International Bible Fund to people who don't have the Word of God. You know, I must admit it bothers me greatly when I'm walking in the towards the mall and I look in the back of a car and there in the boot, there behind the back seat, you find somebody's Bible and the cover is curled because it's been sitting in the sun for weeks and months. You go into somebody's house and you see the Bible and it's sitting there on the coffee table or something and there's dust on it. The Word of God is precious. It's important. And yet how many people today don't want to give the Word of God any time whatsoever? Verse 9 says, and he and his disciples asked them, saying, what might this parable be? And then verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. It's precious. Jesus is the Word. And we're to let the whole world know. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves, and there is salvation in no other name. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, a quick survey. How many of you had already turned to Romans chapter 10? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to know if what I said was something that was good or beneficial. A number of you, very good. Well, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, it's important, it's precious, it's powerful. Back, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 12. Christ is explaining the parable. And verse 12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The word of God, the seeds are spread, and the devil doesn't like it because he wants people to follow him. Now, may I quickly say this? Satan doesn't mind if you have religion. He doesn't mind if you go to a church that doesn't proclaim the Word of God. But he does or is bothered if you go someplace and the Word of God is preached. And the devil comes and takes away the need to believe. He makes you say, well, you're a good person. You're a good Sam. I mean, you're nice. You don't murder people. And you don't knock old women down with your grocery cart. You're all right. I mean, you're not a terrorist. He comes and he tries to make you believe that the Word of God is unnecessary. And then sadly, sometimes he even uses believers to distract the unbelieving. Because our lives maybe are not what they should be, and we're acting just like the world. And we find that this describes those by the wayside, that when they hear, the devil comes and takes away the word. May I say this, even in this room today, there may be demons that are trying to take away the need of the word from your life, so that you won't listen. So that you will not respond in a positive way. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. We'll stop reading there. There are those that come and they're searching for something. They need some deliverance. They need some advice. And when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. They say, this is what I've been searching for. And that's those people in Hollywood. Oh, they found religion. The problem is, that's all they did, is they found it. They haven't gone any further. Notice, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. It's on the rock, but not on the rock, Jesus Christ. They have fallen, these seeds, on the rocky ground of the world. They receive the word with joy, but there is no root system. We note the words, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. They were following the word, but they went no further. A time of temptation, a time of doubt or fear, of discouragement or confusion or frustration, or envy, or jealousy, or hate, or the lack of something. And they fall away because they don't see what they want to see. See, some people want to believe that you plus God equals money. Nowhere in the Word of God do we ever see that. But there are those who believe that if you have a God who loves you, he's going to give you money. Well, the Apostle Paul was a pretty good Christian. He didn't have a whole lot. And we know that Jesus Christ himself said he had no place to lay his head. That's why the women had to help him with their substance. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. The seeds that fell among the thorns, we find that they received the word, but for a while, but then they're choked by thorns. And it tells us here that the cares of life, they're so busy living that they have forgotten that they need Christ. Oh, they're excited about Christmas and they're excited about those type of things, but the day-to-day living as a believer, they don't have time for that. Notice that the thorns include riches. We believe that in America, everybody should be rich. Yet Jesus said, the poor have you with you always. How sad it's going to be that there will be hundreds and thousands of people that are poor in heaven. And that's not sad. The sad part is of those who have much and are rich in today's world and yet have not Christ. And then the pleasures of this life. We live in an entertainment-driven world. As most of you probably know, my wife and I haven't had a television for 20 years. Now, that doesn't mean we don't watch television or that we don't have some videos that we watch. It just means that we don't watch the day-to-day television programs. And what's amazing is that once in a while when maybe I'm at someone's house and I see a commercial for today's sitcoms, I think to myself, people actually sit and watch this? Reality shows seem to be very prevalent. You do realize that reality shows are just fake programs. You do realize that, don't you? That they have 10 or 12 cameras running and they show you what they want you to see. And they take off the programs, the people they want to take off the programs. And yet, people will sit there for hours. I think the ones that interest me the most are those hour-long commercials. And people watch them. And you think to yourself, why? Because we want to be entertained. We don't want to think. We want noise. May I ask you a question? When was the last time you sat in your house and you had no noise? Most people are bothered by silence. See, if I were just to stand here for the next 4 minutes and not say a word, some of you would begin to scratch your arms. Fall asleep. You'd look in your Bible at different places, or you'd start counting the knots in the roof of the ceiling because you're bothered by silence. And yet the Bible tells us, be still and know that I am God. Are we willing to listen? Or are we so driven by entertainment that we have to be driven to listen and have it all the time? Let me give you an example. My wife and I had flown into an airport. Well, we didn't fly into the airport. We landed at an airport. Went in, and we were waiting for the next ride. And one of our fellow travelers that was waiting on this for us, or waiting like us for the next phase of the trip to Detroit, she wasn't in the sitting area 2 seconds before her cell phone was out, and she called someone. And I could only hear one side. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'll call you later, and hung up and immediately called someone else. She talked for a couple of seconds and, oh, I'm sorry, and called someone else. And I'm thinking to myself, you've been on the plane for an hour and you can't bear the thought that you couldn't talk to anybody. And now you got to talk to everybody that's on your cell phone. Well, why is that? Because we don't like silence. We have become enslaved to technology. And technology may have its good points. And I have a cell phone. Well, my wife brought it to me one day and said, you have to have this. I've tried to give it away. But it's not, doesn't have everything, you know, it's just a phone. But we have become enslaved to technology, the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. We bring nothing for our Lord. You know, everyone that's a human being will stand someday before the God of the universe. Every one of us will stand before Almighty God. And he's going to ask us what we did with our life. And he doesn't care what TV programs you watched. He doesn't care what pleasures we had in life. He wants to know, what have you done for Christ? Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, and what? Keep it. They keep it. They hear the word and they follow through. They do what is requested of them. They do what the Lord of the universe wants. They do what Christ the Messiah wants. They're willing to follow after him. And they bring forth fruit with patience. Do you know if you're going to plant seed, you can't expect something to grow the next morning? You get some area that the grass needs to be replanted, and you stir up the dirt and you throw in some topsoil and you throw some seed on. You don't go out the next morning to see if the seeds popped up, do you? It takes patience. It may take a week or so before you start seeing a little bit of result from your watering and the pampering of the ground. And then the grass begins to grow because of your patience, because of what you did. May I say this? We find that the good ground produces. Praise God for the good ground believers. Received with an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, kept it. Having heard the word, bring forth fruit with patience. I ask the question. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a point in time in which you realized you needed a Savior and you called upon the name of the Lord? And then once you called upon the name of the Lord, have you produced fruit? And I'm not talking apples and oranges. I'm talking about spiritual fruit. Have you grown in your walk with the Lord? Are you a stronger Christian today than you were 5 years ago? Have you read the Word of God? Have you prayed? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to be used of the Lord? Are we producing fruit? Shall we stand together, if you would, please? The song of invitation this morning, 401, only trust him. Are you trusting in the Lord today? If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, as we have this invitation, we invite you to come to the altar where we'd be more than glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you must do to come to know the Lord as your Savior. And if you have trusted the Lord as your Savior, are you producing fruit? Are you serving him faithfully? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask during this invitation time that you would bless and encourage. And may, Lord, we pray that we could see those who are willing to serve you faithfully. May there be joy in heaven over one that repents. May, Lord, victory be seen here at the Covenant Baptist Church today. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.